And welcome everyone to episode 79 of the Slow Spin Society podcast. My name is Paul, and joining me as always are Rob and Amanda. What's up, people?
Hello. Hey guys.
Hello.
Hello.
If you want to hear how we are doing after 16 hours of sleep for some people, then you can hear more about all that into the pre-show. You can access the extended conversation of the podcast at patreon.com/slowspinsidepodcast. But let's get into the show. We were in fucking Berlin.
Berlin.
This past few days.
Yeah, it was intense. It was so fucking mental to be around so many different people.
Yeah. See so many different groups of people from everywhere all joining for the fixed gear.
They sold 1,600 tickets to Rad Race.
Yeah.
That's mental.
That's gnarly. The night ride, guys, was insane.
Yeah.
So many people. So many people.
Yeah.
So precision for everyone that's listening to this a little bit out of context. We were in Berlin, all the three of us, for Rad Race Last Woman Men Standing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a bit of a crazy one.
Yep.
Let's start with... So I arrive on Thursday, like I said, into the pre-show. But let's start with Friday.
Oh, the day. It started quite early. So we all met at New Order, the bike shop on Frankfurter Tor, which is cool spot to meet. There was a bit of a confusion with the group in Berlin. There was two separate night rides, and we all managed to, thanks to Matthias, actually.
Okay, stop. Stop. Full stop. I want to say something there because that was... mental, what he did.
I'll let you go for that then, Paul.
My big TLDR for Rad Race, I mean, for this Berlin trip, is Maddie is an absolute boss of a human being. Let me explain to you the situation. So before, Rob, you cut me if I'm wrong, Fixed Gear Berlin, the group Fixed Gear Berlin, were organizing night rides.
Yes,
at
correct.
Some point, Maddie... So Dados on Instagram decided to part ways and not organize the rides anymore. From that, some drama happened and two group rides, actually, like the group rides split it in two, making two group rides.
No. For a while, it took a long time to hand over the night ride because aka Dados had run that night ride for almost 5 years himself.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a big thing to hand over. But it was just a lot going on at Fixed Berlin at the time. And we weren't particularly, it was when I was living there, and we weren't particularly like active. We'd been active for a good year, solid, and the night rides were great. But then we just stopped being active when we visited you in Paris. We were doing more traveling and the brand model was kind of changing. One of the lads asked if we could take it over. So we eventually said, right, one group can take it over, and they called themselves We Ride.
Right.
That went on for actually a good year, 8-9 months, I think, and nearly a year before there was a breakdown within that group. So that didn't happen quickly. And then from the We Ride started another night ride called Breakless Berlin. So then you've got two groups that were actually a bit angry with each other about internal politics. And I'll let you take it on again.
So apparently there was some drama between the groups, and especially between the two leaders of the two groups. What happened is we met with Maddie on Thursday night. And we're all in his place talking. Like, it was nice to see each other again. It was, for me, it was the first time. It was my first time meeting Kirby. So it was nice to learn to know everyone. And for a good hour, we don't see Maddie anymore. Like, I don't know where,
he
is. And we are in his own apartment. So, yeah, probably like an hour goes by. And then he comes back.
And he's always on the phone.
Yeah, throw his phone on the bed. And he's like, it's Dawn. And I'm like, what do you mean it's Dawn? Well, only one ride tomorrow. No two rides, no bullshit. Like, I make them go together. And I was like, how the fuck does this guy manage to be the ultimate fixed gear mayor of Berlin?
Because he's the boss, man. He's an absolute boss. The mayor.
That's exactly how you would describe it.
I was so impressed. Like, he spent an hour on the phone with probably both parties telling them to cut the bullshit and just make one ride. And so I understand all of that. And I'm like, well done, mate. Like, that's crazy what you just did there. And then he's like, well, yeah, but now I need to make like an Instagram post about it. So Paul, give me a picture. And yeah. it was just so funny and so impressive at the same time. Yeah, so that was my long part of the story.
Two people trying to organize two night rides when actually the greater good is that everyone is coming to Berlin for an organized event.
Yeah.
Now put your fucking petty politics aside for one night.
Yeah.
And get the community together and rocking and put on an event that showcases Berlin. Not putting two separate night rides on and arguing and being whatever about it. I don't care what your personal issues are at that point. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big up to Matty, as always, for just being like, no, let's do it. And but to be honest, if you look at the crews who were running the rides, Matty still ran that ride.
Yeah. I was impressed.
Absolutely.
Matty was just, he's a boss, man. That's what we used to do every Wednesday night, man. Me and him just like absolute vibe a night ride.
So sorry, Rob, I did cut you, but you can resume on the Friday night.
No, all good. No, I like your story of that because it just showcases why Dados is who Dados is, to be honest, and why he can do what he wants to do because he's good at it. Yeah, so where were we up to? So yeah, so after putting all the politics aside, we Matty arranges so it's one night ride, and the plan was to meet at New Order, which is a kind of interesting bike shop that works on popular trends and algorithm in a way. They kind of look at what needs of the people want and they kind of build their portfolio of bikes, what they sell to what's kind of popular and trending. And that maybe sounds a bit too much like they have cool stuff in there. It's a nice shop.
Mm. Okay.
I mean, for me, that was a wonderful feeling to start with because just already we had different crews coming from all over. And this is kind of the first time I'd seen a lot of the Berlin people for a while. Mm-hmm. So it was starting to feel really, really good at that point.
It felt great.
It was really cool to have everyone all meet up. Good, like 2 hours before the ride starts. You know, you just get to chat and meet people from different countries. People who are racing.
Wild bikes.
Yeah, see all the bikes.
Yeah.
It was pretty, pretty nice. And the weather was nice. The sun was setting. The sun was shining. It was
nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got to quickly say, Marco, Fixie Corner, I love you to bits, bro. You are.
Oh, yeah.
You are such a wonderful guy to be around. And he brings such a good energy. He's smiling and positive. And I adore you, mate. There's so many people I need to say that to, but first of all, I have to say it to Marco. Oh, we even forgot hummus a peak. Fucking hell.
Oh, yeah.
We had breakfast that day. That was sick.
Oh, yeah, that was really nice.
That's one of my favorite breakfast spots. And that was funny, just seeing all the London people start to turn up.
Yeah. Could you send me this place so I'll put it into the show notes?
Yeah. Mugabe. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. So this morning, Friday morning, it was amazing to meet the FPC crew again.
Yeah.
I really feel like when I went to London, I was like, man, the FPC crew is awesome. But now in Berlin, the connection is even more stronger.
Yeah. Their energy, man. It's crazy. Fucking pirates.
Like, no other crew in the world, the fucking pirates. You know, Brad Race replied, like, text or replied to something on the pirates page. Jake wasn't even there, but they were like, FPC, FPC, FPC. Do you know how many people were chanting FPC in Rad Race that never even heard of the pirates? We were the loudest Sick. Group still somehow.
Also, the group from, like, they're from Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
There was a group from Barcelona and two girls, one from, I think, Chile, and the other one from Colombia, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy vibes, crazy group. Their energy as well was really nice.
So many good crews and so many good groups.
Yeah.
The
night ride was amazing.
Yeah.
It must have been 120 people strong minimum on that night ride.
Yeah.
And the route was, Matty chose a fantastic route to get to Glycy. We wouldn't normally go that way. So he did a bit of a loop like into Prenzlauerberg and then back around through where we kind of started and then all the way along Skalitza to Glycy. And it was a good route and a good distance. And it was for such a big group. It all stayed together somehow. It was fast as well.
Yeah, it was great.
Wish that the crew from Montreal, the fixed crew, if only they could have been there.
They would have loved it, right?
Yeah, oh my God. You have no idea.
I don't think I've ever wheelied that much on a night ride, though. I was buzzing.
You were on top of your game that day.
I was really on top. I think that's what fucked me up, to be honest. That's why my back and hips, because I just was in a wheelie. I loved it. I was buzzing. I was smiling so hard. Yeah, I loved it. Absolutely.
You know what? I didn't wheelie that much.
Because you're on Matty's bike.
Yeah, I mean, the bike Matty gave me was great. Like, really, really
Dude,
cool.
I swear to God, it looked like a popsicle.
A popsicle?
Like, the colors.
It was also really colorful, yeah. It was also really colorful. So it was a little bit of a low pro geometry. I'm so not used to these, but also short risers and straps.
Yeah.
So the only memories I have from straps is me not being able to get out of them and crashing.
You should have brought your own strap. You should bring your own. If you're borrowing someone's bike, I think just bring your own pedals.
Yeah, that's what I do.
You are right, but I didn't think about it. But in the end, it was still really, really nice. Do I not regret taking my bike? Not quite sure. Like, I think next time I'm probably going to take my bike, But it was great of Matty to lame this bike.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't even told you about my bike situation yet. I literally, Kevin sent me a frame from Hong Kong and I went to the bike shop on Wednesday at 11 or 12-ish in the afternoon, hoping the bike would already be there because I was trying to track it. And as I got there, I'd been there like 10 minutes, had a coffee, and the delivery guy calls me. And the bike turned up while I was there. The chances of timing from Hong Kong. It arrived from Hong Kong at the same time as I did at the bike shop. How mad is that?
Nice.
Where did you get all the parts, though?
I brought the parts with me.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
I just brought a
small... So it's your Berlin bike. You let it there?
I leave it there in the... Yeah.
So that was Friday. Friday was already super hectic. Oh, there's one more thing that happened after the night ride was like the little race thingy around the park.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
So Matty and Lawrence decided to organize sort of a quick time trial around the park. And that was so much fun. That was great seeing everyone going one by one, making the best time possible. I think there was also like good prices. And then comes my second fanboy moment, my second sparkling eyes moment in this weekend is the race is done. Everybody is chilling. And then the police arrive from the park, which I still don't understand. The police arrive and they arrive fast, Like it's almost, they're almost drifting to a stop. So everybody run to their bike and start, you know, like riding away.
Let's go, let's go.
Exactly.
You were like, you came up to me, Amanda, get your bike, let's go.
Yeah.
She was so scared of the police.
I was like, scared of the police for your bike because first it's not yours. And second, my bike was not mine. So if we got our bikes taken away, that's not fun for either of us. So
yeah, that's not nice for anyone.
Yeah, we go and I look from like 100 meters away. And I was not panicking, but I was like, okay, I need to move right now. And then I look from, yeah, like 50 or 100 meters away, I don't know. And I see Maddie and Lawrence, both of them, not moving an inch, still smoking, like there is nothing happening. And the police, obviously, because they're the only one still here, they go and talk to them. And they remain so calm, like boss attitude from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
And so what Maddie told me later is the police told them that they could easily take half of the bike that were there.
Yeah.
But because they know that the race was tomorrow, they were like, put your lights on, be careful and just fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, go away. And my God, like...
They just sat there, sitting, cigarettes in mouth, just like, so, what's up? Yeah, come talk to me.
Exactly.
But Lawrence is an absolute boss with the police, I've got to admit. I've seen Lawrence deal with the police in mad situations, and he's very good with how he handles the police. He's good at it.
I mean, he's probably around 2 meters.
He's a tall like, guy,
at least 195.
Yeah, you were like, but, you got an FAS t-shirt. And he was like, yeah, I work there.
Yeah.
He works at FAS, yeah. Flex.
That's crazy. Yeah. What a flex. But, so yeah, that was Friday night. And then comes Saturday.
Can you remember that mini alley cat we did at Volksbühne? Where the guys were like, right. One checkpoint. You have to race as quick as you can, take a picture, a selfie of you with either a tram or a train, was it? And your bike and yourself in the shot?
Yeah.
Yeah. And get back as quick as you can. And I think that was it, wasn't it?
I think Timmy came first, but...
He didn't put himself in the back picture or the bike in the picture.
Yeah, or the bike something, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good night ride. Good night
ride.
It
was a lot of fun. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So next comes...
Saturday. Did you guys end up going to the collective?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
On Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, very, very good. Very good.
Also, so fucking crowded. So many people that you see and know and... Crazy.
Just for people that don't know, the collective is it's organized by Rad Race, but it's organized by a bigger organization as well. So it's part of the Rad Race event, but it's separate. It's in a different venue, and it's in a warehouse space with a bit of outdoor space, and it's so bike brands can come and display their latest components, merchandise, whatever. It's frame builders. It's every brand within Germany and around the world that want to come and display their products, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of great things there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell me what you saw that was great.
A really high cargo bike.
A really high
cargo bike. Oh, the double-decker from Omnium.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
They had that for a while now.
What is the point in that?
The flex.
There isn't point.
Okay, just checking.
Unless
just
you're checking. Transporting a fridge, that's pretty much it.
Or you're transporting another cargo bike or something.
Yeah, maybe it's just fun, man.
Okay,
it's just fun, but yeah, I asked them because I thought they only had one, but they do have two: one in Copenhagen and another one at their shop.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so they had the double decker Omnium. They had the titanium Omnium with the carbon rack.
Nice. With the carbon rack? Oh, I've never seen that yet.
Yeah, it was fancy. I'll put some pictures into the show notes. What else? I don't know, like some good stuff and some terrible stuff as well. Like, I'm sorry, but one guy decided to make like a carbon cargo bike, but in the worst way possible. And I talked to him and I was like, well, the guy clearly has a project and it's going, but it's not going to go far, I think.
It's not going anywhere good.
Oh, no, it's not. It's not. It doesn't make any sense. But yeah, we saw some great things. I will put an article with some cool track related stuff that I saw at the collective.
Will you do a blog about the collective and the rat race? Have you got enough photos and stuff?
Yeah, so I took some pictures, but the rat race is in a dark place.
Yeah.
I have no idea what my pictures look like.
Yeah. Could come out amazing.
So I did drop my film today, and I'll probably get some results tomorrow.
Okay, cool.
But I'm hoping for the best, but I'm also not hoping too much at the same time.
Yeah, cool.
We'll see.
We shall see.
The collective was nice, and then we went to the actual race.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think next year, Kang should definitely have
display it for sure.
Absolutely. At the collective. Yeah. He needs to do that.
I think anyone who's doing their own business in the bike industry would benefit massively from showing off their works there.
Yeah. He showed up on Friday night with a bike, which is the new
Coca. That was also a baller move.
That was a baller move. That bike was insane.
Yeah. So he showed up and at the night ride around like 5 p.m. And I was like, oh man, this is the new Coca. It looks cool. And I was like, yeah. So I finished it today at 2 a.m.
Yeah. He had like 3 hours of sleep. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So no lacquer, no paint, no clear coat, nothing. Just a Coca decal. And that's it. And it was, it looked like a titanium bike.
It did look like a titanium bike, yeah.
Because it had not even one spot on rust on it. Because the thing was out there since hours. Like, yeah, a few hours only.
Yeah. And he had like 4 hours of sleep for an entire week working on the bike.
Wow. That's
every
impressive,
single
though.
Day.
But it's the right place to bring and flex your latest works for sure.
It is, yeah. Amanda, do you want to talk about, because you're the main one in that race, so do you want to talk about the race?
Yeah.
What do you mean? I entered the race, Paul.
Oh, right. So wait. We're going to talk about that before.
I think we should talk about that before.
I want to say that Rob has officially a new title. Rob Kernsey is officially the first person eliminated from Rat Race 2023 without even riding. How do you do this black magic fuckery? I will let you explain.
So yeah, I wasn't feeling great on the Saturday after multiple late nights and tiredness. I wasn't really feeling it. And I got there late and I was soaking wet. And I was like, So I did a couple of warm-up laps and I thought this would, you know, I always say just get on the track, do some warm-up laps, you'll be fine. This did not make me feel better about my decision to race this year. So Jack from the Pirates was racing, Jack Talbot, and his brother Joey was very keen to ride this year, but he didn't have a ticket. And it turned out to be Joey's birthday on Saturday, the day of Rad Race. So I thought it would be good to gift Joey that ticket because he was absolutely hyped and buzzing to participate within the event. That being said, Joey did his warm-up laps, did his qualifying lap, and then he got put into the first category. So his race was the first race of 2023. And he did pretty well, but not particularly well. And he went out first. And the sad thing is that they just kept calling my name.
Like, Cairnsey, Rob Cairnsey from Fix Berlin.
And poor Joey's riding around doing his best. So that was quite a funny situation. That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole level of competition this year in terms of Fix Berlin team, your team, Amanda, super cool. Seeing the Schindelhauer team, seeing the Fix Berlin
Colibri
team.
Colibri is also very strong.
Yeah. Cafetera. There's just so many young independent teams who did so well this year.
Mm-hmm.
It really brought it back to that anyone can win, which is what it was years ago. Because before COVID, it became quite elitist, and it still, there's a lot of people there. I mean, I know Alec won again, but he's a strong rider. He kind of deserves it. But for a long time, it was just competition. And before that, it was just a messenger, courier, fixed gear, street thing, and anyone could win because it's a wild race. And it felt like this year, anyone could have won that, or at least been in the final, because it was just, people were riding so hard and so strong. And coming out of absolutely nowhere, which was great. I've got to say, Philip was impressive, man.
Oof, yeah. I want to talk about Philip because, so Philip gifted Otter on the Discord and Pepe. He has so many names.
Too many names,
but the guy just shows up without really any training. And he was flying on the track. And I think he went all the way up to semifinals. But his lines were so clean. Like maybe one of the cleanest lines I've seen. And he was, toward the end, he was the only one riding risers. And quite large, mind you. I think he was riding like 760 or 750.
Mm-hmm.
And he was leaning like a madman. And a bit of information for that. So if you listen to the Patreon specials, I made an episode about Anthony making his titanium frame. Was a really like aggressive geometry and a really high bottom bracket. And with the permission of Anthony, Philip had a carbon track frame made with this geometry. Was like an insanely high bottom bracket. Yeah. So he was leaning way more than any other person on that track.
I didn't realize
that. Super impressive.
That's mad.
But yeah, sorry, Rob, go on.
No, I've got to say, Lawrence did amazing. The Fix Berlin team, Peter, they all did absolutely great. Yakitori's first year, really good to see the team actually. I mean, Lawrence and Peter and Philip, they rode so well as a team.
Yeah.
Jack Tolbat from Fix Pirates, again, was doing it under someone else's name, but he was so close to going through with his qualifying round, which was amazing to see. The One Life team, Matt Ruclo, he hit the semifinals, did amazing. He was quite quiet the whole time, but focused. The One Life team did really well. Yeah, anyone else we need to mention that did really, really well?
I mean, even if they did well or not, everyone that took place into
that race. Of course. I think that's what I mean.
From an outside point of view, it looks crazy.
It's a wild course.
People crashing, people slipping, people
hitting
passing
each other
people in the most brutal manner possible. If you've seen the live and if you've seen like some of the videos online, the way Alec passed Sam on the last lap.
Seeing that with my bare eyes, man, that was
you
crazy.
Were right it there. Was you were right in that brutal. Corner where he took him, wasn't he?
Like I saw the moment he did that. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It was so brutal. Like, honestly, I mean, Alec is a really, really strong rider, and he's, I think, one of the reason he's so good. His mind game is clearly superior to everyone else on that track.
I think that was clear from this year. Probably the year before, but he is strategically strong. Like, he knows when to go, when not to go. He knows exactly how to get past a rider when he wants to get, and he knows when to get past anyone he wants to get past. He's a good rider.
The ability to do that while also focusing on not crushing on such a tight track is mental.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to say, it, all of the videos and everything, yeah, it looks fast, but it actually, in real life, it's much faster. Fast track, yeah. Amanda, give us your experience then.
Yeah, I put a lot of pressure on myself for this race. It meant a lot to me to be there just because I love the entire meaning and atmosphere, and just this, the race itself is insane. Warming up first, like 10, 15 minutes, first time on the track was pretty, nervous and getting used to it and, you know, figuring out how to place yourself, where are moments you can try and attack if during the race, stuff like that. But then once you start warming up and feeling the course, then, you know, your nerves start to go away. Yeah, it was pretty, pretty gnarly.
How did the bike feel and everything?
Yeah, that's a good question.
The bike felt really good, felt very compact. I felt very comfortable on it. Actually, I'm questioning whether I should have tried it with risers.
Oh, really?
I'm wondering if how I may be taking corners and tightly, maybe if I never tried it with risers, so I'm questioning how I would have felt.
I wonder if you would have taken risers and just tried them for a few warm-ups and seen what you... Yeah. I feel like that course is designed, is comfortable with risers.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. That's what I'm questioning. Maybe if I would have felt a slightly more comfortable with the risers and maybe would have had more confidence in a way to try and make a harder move during the race. Just because I feel like with the drops, I dig into the corner so hard that I was so scared to crash, because I did crash once really hard during practice warm up. The carbon handlebars are a bit scratched, chipped. Yeah, and I was like, okay, during the race, just try not to slip. Don't fuck up anything. Just keep my line and make it to the next round. And that was my strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And then right at the last, literally the last lap, I rewatched it today, actually, the live. And at the last lap, I was behind Timmy. And I'm not blaming anyone, but Timmy slowed down a bit in front of me. And then the girl behind me attacked. And while I see her attacking, I want to speed up to try and either pass Timmy or stop her from attacking. But I can't because I'm blocked by her attacking and by Timmy in front of me. So that's where I was a bit pinned. And I watched it and I saw it and I was like, fuck. So I think also the entire race is not just about skills and stamina, but it's also about luck. Anything can happen during the race, whether it's someone crashing, someone's running into you.
It really can, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, slipping. Really? Like even Melissa Martiqui, the girl who came second, she was in first place the entire in the finales, and she had a really big gap for so long, and then she slipped and fell, and that's what put her into second. But without her falling, she would have came first. So it's really also a race about luck.
Do you think, because I see the same dude winning 3 years in a row, like there is no space for luck in my mind. Like in my eyes.
That's true. That's a good
point. It is just pure skill, understanding of your opponents, understanding of the track. There is a big part of mind games, I believe.
I guess, but I mean, you could have also had someone run into Alec. Like, you never know.
Yeah, someone could hit Alec exactly at any point.
Well, It's the thing. I've talked with, so also shout out to Lucas that also made it to, I believe, the semifinals. So Lucas was in one of the heat before Alec. And he clearly showed to everyone that he was the fastest one of his heat. So he was like a few seconds in front of everyone the entire time. And he told me Alec went to him because the next heat they would be together. And he was like, we can do it two ways. Either you go in front of me, but I'm probably going to put some pressure on you. Or you let me go in front and I won't put pressure. I don't remember exactly what he said. But basically what Lucas did is he took Alec's advice and left a gap between him and Alec. So in the second heat, you can see Alec is in the front. He's a few seconds back. And then there is the rest of the pack another few seconds back. So I think there's like a huge, huge like mind games, and it's also like in the brain.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting.
But I am also really, really impressed that Alec can win by being the absolute most humble and nicest guy that ever existed.
Mm-hmm.
Big shout out to him because I was blown away by his performance, but also by him as a person. He's just a really nice dude.
Yeah, in the bathroom.
Oh yeah, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So there's never been anyone cleaning the bathrooms in Rad Race. And as you can imagine, 1,600 people in that venue, they get, and the bathrooms are pretty shit, right?
Oh, there's like two toilets. It's disgusting. It's terrible.
And there's never been anyone cleaning them. But this year they had like two dedicated fucking winners, like the best people in the world cleaning the bathrooms constantly. This dude was like sweeping the floor while like cleaning the walls, and like while people were just in there drunk, and he was just smiling, and he was a boss. And the drunker I get, the more like into him I'm like, bro, you're my hero. You're my winner today. So this one time I just go in, and I go to have a pee, and I smile at him and say, there's my guy. And he smiles back at me. And I feel someone stand next to me to have a pee in the urinal there. And I'm like, you know what? Those guys out there don't know what they're playing at. They're not winners to me. They're not doing anything on that track. This guy in here is winning. And then I just hear this like voice that I recognize. He's like, no, could not agree more. Actually, I really appreciate this bloke as well. It's normally a bit of a nightmare. And I just turn and I just look up and I just see Alec's face just like smiling at me. I'm like, oh, that's Alec. And then I look back at myself, where I'm peeing, and I pee and I walk out. That's the only interaction I've ever had with Alec. That's just the only people that could have been talking. The only person that like probably shouldn't have been listening to that conversation that I was having pretty much on my own, drunk. And it was him. It was funny. That's my story.
Good
about
story.
It.
That's a good story.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like he'll remember that because he was really smiling at me. He was like, yeah.
Maybe. So yeah, the race was mad. The after party was great.
I just want to throw in a bit about how the event works as well, because the hype like builds all day, doesn't it? So you've got your couple of hours in the morning, everyone gets like their packs and their numbers, and people are a bit nervous, like swapping tires and swapping chains, and they're like, oh my God. And they're all kind of panicking to get on the track.
Me.
And
then
everyone pretty much. And then the track is major busy when everyone's warming up. I mean,
some crashes as well.
It's quite a lot of crashes in the warm-ups, yeah.
I avoid one so well at one point. I was like in between like the guy who crashed and like right next to the tires. And I just sweep my wheel right in between super tightly. Ooh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Joey went down in warm-ups as well. He came and like brought the bike over to me, and the bars were just like in line with the top tube and the front wheel. I was like, okay, how's it going? And then, yeah, and it just builds and builds, and then they put the times out of who's doing the first rounds, and then even the first rounds are pretty chill compared to how much it just builds and builds to the quarters and then the semis. And then it's dark and it's drunk and everyone's loud and the lights go down and all the red lights are on and the smoke machine comes up and the commentators are pretty good, I've got to admit. Yeah. They keep talking all the time and hyping everyone up.
Oh, also, it's so nice that they have a live stream.
The live stream is excellent. Nice. Yeah, excellent. Yeah.
I had friends back in Canada watching, like sending me photos of me on their TV or on their laptops. They're like, nice. Let's go.
I think some of the pirates in London were in Hopking watching it on their TV there as well, which is cool. Oh, yeah, and Timmy did really well and Valentina did really well. Trying to think who else was racing. But the hype and the build-up is just huge, isn't it? The entire room is just going wild.
And I also really, really appreciate that it's such a big and well-organized event.
Yeah.
But it's not too much on the security side.
I like that. I didn't even notice that until you mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah. People are able to move from, from different areas. Siding points. Areas. Yeah. Around it's the really track free. And sometimes in the track.
Yeah, if you've got a camera, you can just jump in the track and quickly take pictures and jump out, and everyone's respectful to it.
Exactly. As long as you don't do shit, people will not have a problem with you.
Yeah. But I'm so scared one day, something's going to happen.
It does get close. It does get close sometimes, I've got to admit. Yeah. It does.
Like when right before my heat, women had 10 minutes to go on. And people were crossing back and forth on the track, and it's our 10 minutes to warm up, and it was pretty sketchy sometimes. Some people bobbing in and out.
Can we mention the big thing about why they make the women wait all the way until the end? Like, I just don't get that.
Because they want to live stream only the semifinals, only towards the end. They don't want to live stream every single thing. Even the beginning of the race, and there's not enough women to, they want to also show all of the women because there's only a couple of groups.
Right.
So then they start the live stream, at the semis or quarterfinals before the women start. They don't want to show, the beginning of the elimination rounds.
Why don't they just live stream the whole thing?
That's a good question, though.
I would just live stream the whole thing.
It takes a lot of time, I think, and organization.
No, I don't think it does. I think the live stream could be running all day easily. The cameras are all set up.
If the cameras are set up. The cameras were set up from from hour before. Zero.
Yeah.
No. So they are already there. I don't know. Maybe it comes to running cost. Oh, I still can't do it.
Running cost.
Operating, all that stuff. I don't know. But yeah, the race was mad.
Mad, wasn't
I don't
it?
Know what else electric, was isn't it? Crazy and oh my god, the playlist was good.
The playlist
they
is
were
great. Yeah,
playing banging sounds.
Yeah,
good tunes during the race.
The beers are really affordable for a venue for an event like that, where normally you'd pay so much more for beers, but you kind of don't. You've got a lot of freedom there to run around.
And I really like that you can put your bike inside.
Yeah.
And that people even not even racing just come to the event. Everyone's bikes are inside, which is so nice.
There's a lot of bikes outside though, all on that big bike rack. Yeah, hundreds.
I didn't see that. That was inside. So
yeah.
At some point the organizer asked everyone that wasn't racing to put their bike outside.
Yeah, on the comm.
And I was doing something else. So my bike Maddie's bike stayed inside, but it was completely, I couldn't even get to it because there were so many people and it was laying against the tires for the entire event.
Yeah. I forgot where mine was at one point. I was like, fuck, where's my bike? I was just like, what the fuck? This place, it's mad that you can just leave your bike lying around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's cool, isn't it? Yeah.
And then I also met Marius for the first time, and Marius was sitting higher, let's say, and he was keeping an eye on my bike, but he was telling me people were actually standing through the frame to be as close as possible. And I am also blown away that I've left a bike there and I've left my bag also next to it for the entirety of the event. So that's probably like, I don't know, like 6 hours, 5 hours. Neither
longer
of my bag or of my or my bike moved.
Moved.
Yeah. Nobody moved them. Nobody took them. Yeah. Nothing happened. That's a good community.
That is great. A good community. Yeah. And you do feel like you've got a lot of freedom there to, and yeah, it doesn't feel like it still has a good feeling of a free event. In a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mad. The scale of it is mad. And everyone just like walking on tires and like climbing over the top of each other, but like smiling and being like, hey, it's good.
Yeah. Also smashing hands against the fences.
Yeah.
Some people actually broke some fences.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
I just want to shout out to Lucas. I think he's a listener of the podcast and how fucking incredible he was. And he pulled up with his Omnium. Actually, we were riding with him, Paul, to...
Yeah, on the way to the race. On the way to the race, yeah.
Yeah, on the way there. Wow, the skills he has, it's crazy. And yeah, he did really well.
He did really well. And he was like... He was on top of his
game.
Just
shredding
as well.
In a t-shirt, like, you know, casual.
And it was super interesting to see like everybody's setup as well, you know. So what tire pressure you're riding, what ratio you're riding, everything. Everybody had like something a bit different, but in the end, it was usually something around like 49, 19. And tire pressure around 4 bars or 3.5. But I've asked a couple of people around the track and that's usually what people were running. Get the grip.
Get the grip.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a cool event. And then the after party.
If you want to know more about the after party and how we got home, listen to the pre-show.
So the after party was great. And then come Sunday and it was a little bit of a rest day for all of us, I guess.
Yeah, I've been so dead.
I'm so fucked up.
So exhausted.
I can't even begin to explain how bad I felt. I haven't felt this bad in such a long time. Everything was hurting. My mind hurt. It was just...
I was never this nervous mind, I don't think, in a very, 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 very long time.
Anyone want to add something about this Berlin experience?
It was incredible to see all the women out there ripping it. Like there was some strong competition this year and there was getting even more women into the fixed gear scene and just racing and going out there and having fun on their bikes and pushing their limits and going out of their comfort zone. It's just great
to see it too. Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. It's great to see how strong the female riders were. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. On that note.
Yeah, good note, I think.
Thank you, everyone that came to us in Berlin. It was awesome. I'm probably forgetting like half of the people I met there to mention them right now. But it was an awesome time. And Berlin was great. And we'll be back.
Thank you to everyone that came out for this trip. Yeah, it was insane.
Absolutely.
But on that note, it's going to wrap another episode of the Slow Spin Society podcast. Everything we discussed today will be in the show notes on the blog slowspinsociety.com, along with the various articles and write-ups I post every 2 weeks. You can find my latest blog post. It's called Why a Grocery Getter is a Stupidly Good Idea. And you should check it out. Slow Spin Society is proud to be a listener-supported podcast. If you get value out of the show, why not consider putting some value back in? You can visit patreon.com/slowspinsocietypodcast to join the community, or pledging at any level will grant you access to the extended cuts of the pre and after show. Special thanks goes to our 43 Patreon supporters, making this show possible and ad-free. Thank you, all of you guys. You can also find us on our Discord server. The invite link is also in the show notes, or with our Instagram accounts at SlesbinSadi, Rob is at Kieran's.co, Amanda is at Amanda C. Berger, and I go by at @_Paul_you. Sharing the podcast with your friends is by far the best and easiest way to support the show, or by giving us a good review on the platform of your choice. Music for the show is Lovely Swindler by Amaria, and the illustration is by me. We're gonna go on to a short and sweet after show because we are super tired of the Berlin experience. But we'll see you in 2 weeks. Have a good one.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks,
bye
guys.
For now.
Cheers.
Cheersy.